Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. As our geopolitical challenges continue to escalate, the message is becoming louder and clearer. Separation is the sickness that ails humanity. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the cure. This week, Indigenous and Mexican-American thought leader Dr. Anita Sanchez returns to What is Going On to continue a critical conversation that we started earlier this year, based on her award-winning book, The Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times. How does the Native American Four Agreements and winner of the 2019 International Latino Book Award for Most Inspirational Nonfiction, Best Self-Help Book, and Best Spirituality Book, The Four Sacred Gifts shares the wisdom from elders from all continents as they come together to give the world four sacred gifts: the power to forgive the unforgivable, the power of unity, the power of healing, and the power of hope. Dr. Anita Sanchez, thank you for returning to continue this very important conversation.
Oh, and thank you. It is very important, so I'm quite honored to come back and to have your listeners tune back in and the new ones to come to hear the important messages.
Well, before we begin, I want to read a couple of paragraphs from your book, The Four Sacred Gifts, which not only sum up for me what is at the root of the crisis humanity is facing right now, but also provides a little insight into why your book has won these international book awards. So I hope you don't mind if I just take a minute to read these three paragraphs. Our minds, hearts, and spirits can become quickly overloaded with the magnitude of the problems, the fast pace, and the results that appear to be unsolvable. We start to shut down, despair, and suffer. A way to quiet ourselves, to stay open and not closed, is to look at our unexamined assumptions about our relationship to the world around and in us. Honestly looking at our assumptions, we can see that many of them come from a belief system that we exist only as individuals, separate and alone. We are all susceptible to the notion of separateness, resulting in feelings of alienation and isolation from everyone and everything around us. In that I am separate mindset, we can feel miserable, while at the same time not take responsibility for our actions, negatively impacting others and ourselves. An Indigenous descriptor of this mindset and this way of feeling and behaving would be: we are acting as if we have no relations. Everything and everyone around us is sensed as a potential threat. In this them versus me way of thinking, there is a scary sense of being surrounded by otherness. Living inside this illusion of no relations, we feel unsafe and don't offer or ask for needed support. What happens as we continue to operate out of this belief of isolation? We create and feed conditions that foster hopelessness, division, and even cruelty and terrorism. Through our collective and personal fear-based behaviours and actions, we lack recognition of our commonalities and shared human beingness. For example, we fall prey to xenophobia, the fear of others, perhaps a fear of homeless people in our community. It becomes routine to turn our eyes away, even pretend they don't exist. As I said in my introduction, separation is the sickness that ails humanity. But there is a cure, which can be found in the four sacred gifts. So, Dr. Anita Sanchez, tell us about those four sacred gifts.
Thank you. Yes. The four sacred gifts, as you described them, and I'll go into them more, are so important that back in the 90s, there was a vision and then a call out to Indigenous elders from all over the world. And 27 elders from the different continents came together, and for a weekend, they were in prayer and ceremony in their various languages, and they created a hoop with 100 eagle feathers. And in that hoop, they put the four sacred gifts. These gifts, Spirit told them, that human beings have forgotten. They have forgotten the relationship with themselves, the relationship with other human beings, and the relationship to everything in nature, the earth. And that by using these four gifts, the human being can bring back harmony and balance. And so they have played a major part in my life and a major part of the life of people that I have helped inside of businesses, as well as leaders in communities, both in the U.S. and all over the world. And so each of the gifts, Sandy, we've spoken about them. They are so critical, but I'd like to start with a conversation with you about the gift of unity, the power of unity. And this is where a lot in terms of the forgetting. We forget because we are so busy, as you read out of my book, because we're so caught in this illusion that we're alone, that we're not part of something bigger, that we've actually been forgot that who we are, what we are, is these amazing elements that other beings are too. We're carbon, we're water, we're part of everything that exists. And science is telling us that now too, from the microbe clear to looking at planetary. So I'm not talking about something that's woo-woo. And the Indigenous people all over the world have known this for millennia and have passed back those messages and have continued to keep that connection with the earth and with each other. And now that we're in such a challenging time, but it's not over. The game is on. You could look at it as game over or game on. I look at it as, and the elders as, no, we have a chance by using the gifts. And one of the gifts, we need to use them all, but the first one I want to speak of is unity. Unity that it will take all of us, human beings, two-leggeds, the waters, the earth, the things that are telling us, giving the messages, is that we've got to change this, all the animals, all the creatures, that we together, young people, older people, all races, one hoop of life. That is what the universe knows, is one hoop of life, not the first world, not the third world, not the developing world economically, the undeveloped world economically, one hoop of life. And when we can analyze and look at, ask ourselves a simple question, what have you taught yourself or been listening to that tells you that you are separate, that you are alone? And we have to spend time on that and not run away. And then when we do that, then we have to ask the second question. And what are you telling yourself? And what are you hearing from others externally? Newspapers, religious groups, community groups, your parents, everyone, your teachers, about being connected. We need to understand that and put that connection back and understanding not only external to us, but inside, because we have separated even our head from our heart, that which we know is true, that we love so desperately, Sandy, and we deny that when we stay lost in this denial in our head of this crazy loop of busyness, destruction, over-consuming. And with that, I'm going to stop. I realize it's a long, but I am so passionate. And the elders, I will tell you, I've been in so many, the elders are so pleased that people are finally listening, from the UN to various governments, to individual leaders, to business leaders, to radio hosts, television hosts. Now, we need a lot more. We need everyone rising, but it's happening. It is happening. We get to each one of us choose. Do we want to be a part of the remembering of this gift of unity? Do we want to be good medicine, or do we want to continue to take out of alignment and continuing the suffering, much of it needless suffering, that could ultimately hurt the possibilities for us, for our children, and for other species children?
Yeah, for the future of humanity. You know, the fact that your book has won 3 wonderful, awards is a sign that people are listening. But what I was going to ask you, and you've just, said that the United Nations, we hear so much about this today, and yet we are not, or at least I'm not seeing much evidence of the changes. How does that make you feel?
So it is important to not run from the feelings that are happening. And there is sometimes anger underneath that, some deep, deep sadness, I'll tell you. And almost to what I would describe as almost depression. But if I keep going, knowing not having to do it alone, with all the people that love and care for me and all the earth that's here for me that I get to, breathe and have support me every day with the nourishment I get, I go down another level. And that next level is love. So why all this anger and sadness if I can stay in there to see and be and not deny what is happening? I find at the bottom of that is really love. And then when I use that love, what happens is there is no other choice. The choice I make is to be in positive action with others to correct the systems and structures and all the things that are happening. I think we're seeing a perfect example right now with the fires burning the lungs of our earth, the Amazon. And I've heard from so many people and in different parts of the world that I've been traveling to in ceremony, just how painful, not only for the people we call indigenous people, but for the people who we say are not indigenous, but the reality we're all from the earth, but are awakening that, oh my gosh, we can't let that happen. We just can't sit by. And yet we know that it is not as simple as when that horrible fire happened in Paris, where that amazing historical building, right? Do you remember, Sandy? Billions of dollars came in.
Yes.
Here, Europe, wonderful Europe. I'm so happy with the European, several of the governments who offered to Brazil to give $7 million. It was even more than that to help fight the fires. And the response is, no, we don't want it. And then the outcry and the outrage, and this is letting us see the kinds of things that we've created and how distorted it's gone, because that, the information that's going out now that you and I know, 20% of our oxygen, 20% of what is on this earth with this Amazon rainforest would be gone if we continue to allow the burning. Mm-hmm. It's irreversible. So it's like the wake up from the earth and from, it's just so strong that we need to be in action and hopeful action, because to just stop at, oh, this is horrible, I'm one person, I can't do it, I'm only alone, I'm one, this whole separation is only adding fuel to that fire that's burning the lungs of our earth. What instead we need to do is keep moving down all of those strong feelings that we're having, emotions, to get to that why we're feeling all this is because we love this earth. We love each other.
I'm always astonished. I mean, even if we were separate, which we know we're not, but even if we were, people power, when people stand together, there is nothing more powerful. And I'm always just astonished when people do not choose to stand together. And I cannot get my head around, why people can just stand by and, you know, be apathetic about it and believe that they do not have the power to make change.
It's very hard to observe that. And there are millions in that place. And so what Indigenous people, what we're taught is do not other those people. And I don't suggest that you're doing that. I think you're being descriptive. But rather keep opening up by your own actions and behavior, by your collective coming together to see there's another way. But we can't spend a lot of energy just going, oh, it, you know, getting paralyzed within. We have to keep in action. And it doesn't take everyone. We know this, that there's a tipping point. We know that it doesn't take 100% to shift things. It doesn't take that. But it does take a collective action, consistent action, and that we now have not only from the elders talking about these four gifts, but if we look at the United Nations that we both have spoken about, where they've said in their last few reports on the, you know, the biological situation that we're in, that it is being destroyed. And in their reports, in the last two, they've said it's essential that we listen to the Indigenous people, that we look at their practices, because some 80% of the land left that is the most biodiverse, that provides us the carbon sequestration so that we can have oxygen, so that we have the waters, the clean waters, and all of that. This is lands that the Indigenous people have been in caretaking of. And even when I say that, I kind of stretch that out, because it's not even caretaking. What it really is, it is caretaking, but what it is the understanding that we don't live in a, you know, in a city. We don't live on a farm. We don't live in the Amazon rainforest. We don't live in the foothills of the Himalayas. We are part of it. And when we realize, like Indigenous people, like our people understand, we are part of this, then it has us be with it, be part of it in such a respectful way. So we would not want to hurt it, because it's hurting ourselves. So it is, I understand, Sandy, and sometimes I'm kind of amazed, like how come people aren't rising up on this? And I don't mean in a negative warning, but in just a positive action, change things, right? And yeah, it is happening.
It so,
but you don't get all that in the newspapers and things, but it is happening, and it needs to happen faster and in a larger, larger way.
It certainly does. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest tonight is transformational leadership and corporate consultant, Dr. Anita Sanchez, whose award-winning book, The Four Sacred Gifts, reveals the prophecy entrusted to her by a global collective of Indigenous elders. We'll be back with more Indigenous wisdom from The Four Sacred Gifts with Dr. Anita Sanchez after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, you know, your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Anita Sanchez, we're talking about separation and unity. What steps can we take right here today to become less isolated, more connected?
Yes, there are things, and I want to be really practical about it. So it is using the four gifts, because when you use these four gifts, you can't help but remember and to know when you're acting disconnected. But let me drop down to even a more practical something coming up. September 20th is something that started in Europe with Greta, the young, at that point, I think, was 15 years old. She's 17 now, I think. She put a call. She said, what are we doing? Why does school even seem useful if we're allowing our leaders aren't looking at what's happening? It's about our future. And when she said that, oh, my gosh, in Indigenous, many of us have this seven generations, which every decision we make, we should always be looking at seven generations out. Is this going to be a positive, a benefit to seven generations out? That kind of thinking is seen as, oh, absurd, because it's about right now, today, what do I get, how much? I mean, it's so in lost. And to have this young girl who's now becoming a young woman speak out so clearly that she started a movement all over the world. So September 20th, these young girls, and I met one of them a couple weeks ago when I was speaking in Colorado, and Sitya, Shia Batista is part of one of the girls in New York who has started help make this, coordinate this movement across the United States. And she stood up and looked at all of us in this conference, and I'm hearing it from kids all over who are saying, they get it. This is about the future. It's about now. If we don't take care of now, we'll be no future. And we want you to come to join us. It just brought tears to all the adults' eyes to have this group of young teenagers saying, we want you to come. We can't vote yet. But you can vote, but come stand with us. We have to raise our voices. We have to make sure the behaviors that we do use in our homes and with each others are ones that are life-giving, that allow, that are sustainable, that we really show the kindness and the love to each other. And I'll tell you, it was so strong what they're doing. And so I'm just so excited in my heart I know that on that Friday, September 20th, coming up next week, that there will be millions of not only young people, but adults. And those young people will eventually be able to vote. And there are teachers right now. And Indigenous people are right there with them. And a lot of people are there with them. And so that's a practical thing. So be willing to go out and support people. Step out of your lunch at noon on September 20th, and join and stand there and say, we care about our earth. We care about the future. We care about our children, because I do not believe, and it's more than belief. I think when people finally get connected, Sandy, and why these gifts are so important, when people finally start hooking it up, they realize that the things they love and the people they love will have no future. Science is really clear about it, really clear.
Yeah, yeah. And doesn't it put us all to shame when we see that it is the kids that are doing it? You know, it is their world. And it just, again, you know, I'm gobsmacked that the politicians don't understand that pretty soon those kids are going to have the votes, you know? And if, you know, if they're not going to change, the kids are going to make them change, because they'll be voting with their feet.
Mm-hmm. And Sandy, when I was there at this event, I just wish you could have been there. I just wish everybody could just, and we're hearing the young kids everywhere, all over the world. But they were saying they have, you know, because the younger generation is used to using the smartphone and that. And they've not only got 3 million young people who will be able to vote shortly, but they have their cell phone numbers. These young people are saying, oh, no, I need my privacy. They're like, no, remind me. Get me out there. I'll help get other people there. I'll get my parents. But if we remember, even during the war, I remember in the United States when people were very divided about the Vietnam War and the kids that were, they were the voices out in the street that we don't want war, we want peace. And then we started seeing the young people being the protests on the street turning from peaceful to where they were being beaten. And I remember then hearing, I was fairly young, but I could hear adults talking about, wait a minute, we're watching this too. So I do believe when people finally get, most people, but they're not that lost because it's inside. I don't, again, I'm not othering. I believe that knowing is inside of us if we would just pause. But if we keep running our vehicles as with the brakes on, we're going to continue to hurt ourselves and the whole planet. But if we would stop and even just put it in park to really assess and see what is happening, and that's where these young people, I'm so pleased by them and all the indigenous people who are in ceremony all over the world and out, you know, protesting and just calling for this change and people to awaken.
Yeah, we have a voice. We need to use it. You know, at the basis of separation is fear. Fear is very divisive. How can the four sacred gifts help us to respond to divisive emotions like fear and anger?
Yes. And there are, first of all, I'm realizing, I thank you so much for this interview because I'm realizing I'm so filled. And so I'm taking a pause and a breath right now to just allow what's going on in my heart. And what I know is happening is that fear is our mind too. I'm not saying that, yes, that fear is a thing that our brain needs that is part of where all of a sudden the sugars, instead of going to our front part of our brain, that where all of our planning and decision making and that kind of organizing happens. When fear takes hold, that sugars are stopped and they're stopped in the hind part of our brain. And the only thing that can happen there is fight, flight, or freeze. And we need to teach that part of our brain that is not what we need to happen right now. That we do have a lot of science. If people would read some of just what the basic scientific stuff that are happening, or the book Drawdown is a powerful book with 100 solutions that already exist that people can use, any or all of them, individually, collectively, let's just get on using them, and we can actually reverse global warming. The answers are out there. The difficulty is so much is being promoted about fear that people go into that hindbrain and become paralyzed. So I encourage you to start every day, first of all, waking up and starting with seeing all the abundance that you have, not going into, oh, I don't have this and I have all this, but rather, I'm grateful I'm breathing. I'm grateful for the friends I have. I'm grateful for my pet that's here. Whatever it is, I'm grateful for the tree outside my window. Start with gratitude. We know that when we start with all of the wonderful things that we already have that's part of us, whatever, you know, our health, whatever it is, that then from that place, we can then take on when we're getting bombarded with the fear and stuff, and we can, wait a minute, let's go into pause again, meditation, walking in the forest, walking by a tree, lean against a tree, look at a flower. There's so many practical things we can do to lower the fear, to be able to see, oh, this is what it's working on. It's working on my fear. So let me join with my neighbors and move forward. And there's no step that's too small and no action that's too big. just whatever it is. It can be kindness to that homeless person on the corner. It can be making sure that you know where your water comes from that you drink every day. And are the sources protected? Are we taking care of that? The things that we just don't even think about now, we are being asked by Earth itself and each other. We need to pay attention to it. And I think when we do that, what I have found is that there's amazing amount of energy every day that you have in gratitude for what we have, and then the energy to be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. And doing nothing is part of the problem. We all need to be in positive action.
One of the things that keeps us separate is the belief that somebody has or will do something harmful to us. And one of the things that I want to talk about, and I know we spoke about this before, but it is such a big one, is one of the four gifts, which is, you know, the power to forgive the unforgivable. It is very easy to separate yourself from someone else when you feel that you cannot forgive them for something, or you cannot forgive yourself for something. Now, you describe forgiveness as a spiritual alchemy, as an empowering act of spiritual alchemy, a powerful medicine that transforms the hurt into a source of deep compassion. Do you have any advice on how we can learn to embrace forgiveness? Because it's certainly one of the, you know, more challenging things I work on.
It truly is, and I don't make light of it. And of course, you read about that in terms of my own personal story,
yes,
which
yes.
Oftentimes I share parts of that. In that, you know, from on one hand, I had a beautiful childhood with my grandmother and elders, and just really beautiful. Economically poor, but rich in many ways. But then there's a secret that from age 4 to 13, you know, I was sexually abused, and then at age 13, my father is murdered, mistaken where it was during the race riots in the 60s, and he happened to be in a place where a black man and a white man had a fight, and the white man returned and fired two bullets through his head, thinking he was the person he was in a fight with, and he died. There's been so many things that we look at all the isms, sexism, racism, you know, all the different
yes.
things that you could say are unforgivable. But what I found is that when we think that forgiveness means forgetting, or that forgiveness means that we're not trying to create, correct any systems or structures, make sure the hurt doesn't happen again, that somehow we're weak, or somehow we're betraying our own groups of people, it doesn't mean that at all. Forgiveness really means, and I want people to really listen to this with the softest part of their ears and the softest part of their heart. What forgiveness does is it released me, and I believe that it will release it for you, the energy that has been locked up, that has actually imprisoned me, because I was using this energy for this resentment and anger and hurt and fear that I was going to hurt again, that I built this incredible wall to keep out anybody hurting me again. And fortunately, because of the different people that started to come around me, I began seeing things in me that I couldn't see. I was just trying to protect myself. And so slowly I started taking down that wall, and I realized something. And this is something I hope everyone will ask themselves. If you're building a wall of protection, in whatever form that is, if you're building a way so you never have to fear being hurt, really look at that thing, because that's part of the illusion of separateness. That is part of actually damaging yourself, because that wall perhaps kept out some things, some hurts from happening to me. But Sandy, that wall kept out all the good stuff, all the love. And so when you start being able to receive that, it's so powerful. And then it drops even deeper. I realize why I want to help people. To that freedom. Forgiveness, I have learned from a recent ceremony, and I had not really connected this up until July, when an elder said to me, Anita, so important what you're teaching and taking out the knowledge of the elders. But also remember, forgiveness is the passcode to divinity. And it just stopped me, Sandy, because we are all sacred. That doesn't mean we always act in sacred ways, but we are all sacred. And when we are able to forgive and release those energy of what did or did not happen in the past or what could or cannot, when we can release that, instead fall into that place of self-love and then be able to share that love with others, that's the big shift from isolation, illusion of separate, to we are all connected. We are all one hoop of life. And that's a powerful place to stand as a human being.
And it is something that we can come to, no matter how difficult we think it is. I recently read Rianne Isler's new book, Nurturing Humanity, and recorded an interview with her last week. And I was so touched and surprised and gratified by something that she shared in her book about a white supremacist who was absolutely filled with hate and was, did the vilest things to his, I don't know if they were Jewish, but, you know, his neighbours, and he vilified mm-hmm. them, and he did everything he could, they just returned everything with love. And it wasn't until this man who started going blind, until they were just, bombarding him with love in return to all of his hatred. And they started helping him, on a very practical level, helping him get his shopping, helping him do things. This man completely turned around and, said, I'm not a white supremacist, anymore. I love these people. What does it take for us to find that within us?
And that's what I'm talking about. I think you can find that when you tap into unconditional love of yourself. Then we
Absolutely.
Can give it to others.
Yes. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Anita Sanchez, whose award-winning book, The Four Sacred Gifts, shares the prophecy and wisdom of the Indigenous elders who are calling on humanity to remember our unbreakable human bond.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Anita Sanchez, I want to talk to you about the Indigenous elders. I mean, you wrote the book for many reasons, not just because the elders wanted you to. But since writing the book, has the Elder Alliance got bigger? Have more elders come forward? Have they been touched by the prophecies? Are they all joining together?
It is happening, Sandy. And I just, since I last talked to you, I've been honored and invited to go to a number of different places to gather with indigenous elders from different traditions, from Hawaii to Findhorn, Scotland, to Kyrgyzstan in the foothills of the Himalayas. I've been recently in July in the Amazon, and then in New Mexico. I mean, it's just what I'm, and I'm just one person going to a few things, but what I'm hearing in the network that's happening all over the world is these gatherings are happening constantly to bring, to support each other, to touch base what not only practically that they've been doing that can expand and teach to others, but also what is spirit in ceremony, what is being told to us, so that way we can share that wisdom and knowledge. So that is one of the most inspiring things. And the ceremonies and the sharing is not, what I feel like is, even for some of our people, is it's no longer about doing our own ceremony. We realize that this is one universe, one earth, one hoop of life, and that it's time to share all of it. So it's happening. It's just powerful. And if I might, in Kyrgyzstan, where I was in May, with 24 indigenous women, 12 that were local and then 12 from different parts of the world, we were in ceremony every day. And in ceremony, the purpose of the whole ceremonies, each one, which were so beautiful, was about unity of us coming together. In particular, all of us need to, but women, as ceremonies everywhere, and saying, women, rise up your voices, the love that you have, do that. And the men, we welcome the men to bring that part of themselves. It's all about nurturing and love to give us the energy to keep going in spite of the challenges. And in part of that answer to being in unity is that we as women need to stop being competitive with each other. We need to see, when we see another woman, we're not competing about, you know, who's prettier, who's got what men, who's not, all those crazy things, but rather, how can we help each other? And that's what I'm seeing happening in the gatherings, in the joy of and the commitment of indigenous people who've been caring for the lands and the water, and not just for the tribes. They know from their prophecies that this is part of their legacy of caring and protecting this for all human beings, for all the world. And we know that. We know that now with science reaffirming. It's like, oh my gosh, this is true. These are all connected. What happens in one half of the world could happen in China, and it's impacting what's happening in the U.S. What's happening in Europe is going to impact what's happening in New Zealand. It is because the winds, the waters, all of this is connected, all of it. And so there is so many gatherings happening. I'm about to go to another one in a couple of weeks in Sonoma. And now it's not just indigenous people that are gathering. It is business leaders, government leaders, philanthropists. How do we together, collectively, because it's not about separation. It's all about participatory. It's all about being in unity to collectively go out and change us. This is exciting because we do have all the answers, I believe, that we need from science and from indigenous people, from what we know works, but we have to have the collective will. And that is growing, and we're seeing that happen right along the devastation that's happening at the same time. So we just need to keep moving forward and being in that positive action at whatever level is yours, whether it's at the government, whether it's in your home and how you use water, how you don't waste things, how you don't consume things you don't need, how you just recycle things. I mean, it's just on and on and on. There's so much that we can do.
In a couple of months, in November, it's Native American Heritage Month. Yes. What does that actually mean, and what events are planned? What can we engage in?
Yes. Oh, thank you for asking. You ask such great questions. I'm so happy. So in November, we call it Native American. It's been deemed that, a Native American month. And with that, I think the first thing that we're really happy to at least bring to light again is for people to be aware of where they're living and who are the people, the first peoples who are still alive that are there. Because we're not gone. We're, you know, they maybe at one point, you know, with all the genocide, tried to bury us, but they forgot we're Sikhs. And so we are here. So get to know who the first people were of that land. And then another important piece of work is not only learning more about them and what are the positive actions they're doing that you can support, but it's also look inside of yourself. Where do your people come from? And so this is where I've been speaking a great deal, and to white people, to European Americans, to Europeans. And sometimes they're shocked, but part of the work that you can do is to find out about your history, about your people, where they came from. Because in analyze that, you can see what you're still carrying of theirs, the strength, the beautiful things, and the things that need to be healed. But one of the things that you can do is that wherever you came from, if you were from Germany or Finland, ask forgiveness of those places for your ancestors who maybe hundreds of years ago left. But ask forgiveness because you're from that earth. You're from that water. And in doing that, you are causing some healing, some really positive, the forgiveness that I think the ancestors were up to, who all didn't come because everything was beautiful and they wanted to explore. There was great hardship and some horrific things were happening with persecution. But you ask forgiveness and then you come back and you ask and love and care for and gratitude of the land that you're on now and the water that you drink now. Mm-hmm. Very practical kind of thing.
You're a transformational business consultant. You've been weaving your knowledge of indigenous wisdom, business, and science into your global consulting and training work for more than four decades. You've worked with tens of thousands of global leaders and teams to promote positive changes in the workplace and the world. When you sat down to write the four sacred gifts, did you have any idea the impact that it was going to have? I mean, you probably have travelled extensively over those four decades, but I think you've travelled even further afield since writing that book. I'd like to get a little picture there of the impact writing the book has had on your life.
I did not know, Sandy, and the elders smile at me and they said, we need humble leaders, but not false humility. And so we want you to keep going forward. So I didn't realize, but I did know that back in the mid 90s, when I received these gifts in ceremony with hundreds of other people and lots of young people and began using it and integrating it into my corporate work, I was a bit awed by how many leaders had me pause and say, wait a minute, and they'd write down the four gifts. And then they'd talk about, you know, I'm in my third marriage or my fourth marriage. I haven't been to my child's birthday party for the last 4 years. And the anger and the resentment, but still knowing they have to lead and they need to do it. And then they realize when starting to use these gifts as I work with them, that they had fallen into shame, a lot of energy and shame and resentment of places that they're trying to lead and influence. And as they use the gifts, they were able to get clearer about what was happening and release some of this energy, forgiving themselves and others, doing their healing work, and then visioning, hope in action, being dreaming. They said, some of them said, you know, I haven't dreamt in a long time. I'm dreaming again. Yes, as human beings, we're meant to dream. So everything we're seeing right now, you know, many of our innovations, no one saw them out here. It was in a dream. It was in a vision. It was in the belief, not a knowing, a belief that was something else, something better. And allow that to pull us. And our brain operates that way. If we have that vision of something more positive, it moves forward. So I'm able to use applied neurophysiology and some of the new science of quantum physics and the even newer science now that this is a participatory evolutionary process that we're just beginning to sort of understand and a long way to go into that, that makes sense of how we need to be with ourselves and each other's and these systems we create. So I had no idea, Sandy. I think the elders did because many of them said, Anita, you were called to do this since you were a little girl. And you knew even as a little girl in your dream that it wasn't just you. So it's not this big ego thing. In your dream, you saw there were millions of people all over the world connecting each other's hearts, not just their minds, their hearts. And now we're finding from science that the heart may actually be, of course, the major organ, and that it actually is leading, right?
Mm.
We know that from heart math and everything we're affecting.
Oh, yes.
Even on the phone with you and me and people listening, we're affecting each other. We're affecting each other's heart rate variability. We're affecting each other's ability to open up to the possibilities. We have a great amount of power. We just need to choose to use it in a positive way that brings more life, more sustainability to everything that we touch, including ourselves, including we are worthy of that. We're all worthy of dignity.
You know, there are so many ways that we can participate. There are so many causes, you know, that we can join. It staggers me sometimes because I was looking, doing some research earlier, and I was looking at a piece about the Standing Rock Sioux tribe seeking a court ruling to halt the pipeline operations again, mm-hmm. And how they were lied to and how they were cheated. And, you know, so many people who desperately want to do something. Is there any kind of central register, you know, where people can look up and say, well, you know, I might not have the money to travel there or to, you know, take time off work to do this, but there must be something going on in my area. How can people find out?
Yes. Well, that's where these smartphones actually help, because you can just find out by looking up, you know, who are the local tribes, what is happening. You can look up today, even Standing Rock .org, and you'll find who are actually doing the work there. With the Amazon, many people have been emailing me, and everywhere I go, what can we do? And there's so many groups because it's hard to give directly to the tribes, but you want to give it to people who get it directly, the tribes who are there standing strong to, you know, to keep the forest safe and stuff. So like Amazon Watch and Pachamama Alliance, you're right. There's a huge list, Sandy. And this is where I'm going to also suggest you can go to your local United Ways and you can ask the United Ways about what groups exist. And they let you know how much of that money that you give actually gets to the cause. But when it comes to the indigenous, the libraries will also be able to tell you what are the different tribes that are in your local area. And you'll be able to find a way to directly give those funds. And and it's the money is needed, but I also want to speak to everyone. Your time is needed, your resources and other resources. So reality is everyone needs to be part of being good medicine to each other and to the earth itself. Just whatever is yours, your ability to do, please do that.
Our hearts are needed. That's the bottom line. Our hearts are needed, and that's what we need to be offering. Yeah.
Oh, it is that kindness, and it's not a woo-woo thing. We know that when we carry that kindness in our hearts and we send that out, it makes a difference. We have so many scientific studies on that, where we reduce crime and all this by people just really intentionally carrying that love. And so we need to use everything from the scientific solutions to the kindness that individual people can give to the collective, going out and supporting our young people in the street saying, yes, you need to really think about climate change and vote to put your votes in actions where you're going to protect this earth for us and for all the future generations.
Very well said. Dr. Anita Sanchez, we're out of time again, but thank you for coming back and continuing this conversation. Good luck with everything you're doing, and I hope to see you on the show again.
Thank you.
Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times is published by Simon & Schuster. For more information and to download the free song that's based on the book, visit foursacredgifts.com. And for information on Anita Sanchez's diversity training, you can see her consulting website at sancheztennis.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.